North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com is brought to you in part by the Sylvan Street Grill and the Bradford Tavern, a great place to stop by while you're out on your holiday shopping this month. This is North Shore Today. It's Tuesday, December 8th. Hi, everyone. I'm Bill Newell. Looks like some clouds are in our forecast for today and possibly rain for some areas at some point during the day today as well. So the showers are back, and but yet on the other hand, I hear it's going to be warming up as we move through the next several days here. So still no winter, no winter yet. So let's enjoy it, that's for sure. And in today's program, Rick, we've got Ted Betancourt, the mayor of Peabody, and we'll also pop in there the Moynihan Lumber Student Athletes of the Month for the month of November. And we'll tell you more about them in just a little bit, but congratulations to them. Girl winner Anna Knob from Pingree, and Marcelo Rocha, cross-country runner, who's actually going to be competing in San Diego Saturday, Rick, nationally from Peabody High School. So those are some of our guests that we have. So we've got a big Peabody day today on the program. And I'm yapping here. I'm not even giving you a chance here. But But tell us about North Shore Sports Night last night, Rick.
Well, we did talk about track, and it's funny. You mentioned Peabody. Boy, the Roaches just keep coming out of the woodwork. It's amazing what a legacy they have, and that's great news. Another Roacher, of course, was, I believe, Athlete of the Year for Moynihan Lumber a couple of years ago.
Yep.
In the student program, right?
Yeah, no, you're right, I think. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, they're a great family, and athletic family, one of many in Peabody, obviously. On our website down below, we have two video posts for you. We've been trying to put up some holiday posts to get you in the holiday mood because, gosh, you and Rick and I aren't going to be able to do it for you. So we put some video posts down there. Today we've got two different ones. One is the classic Darlene Love Christmas song performed on the Letterman show, the late night show. Just a couple years ago, maybe just last year, as a matter of fact, she was a regular doing that at the holiday season. So that's a great take. But the other one is a little weirder, and it's actually for those of us, Rick, our age. You remember the Laugh-In show, right? Laugh-In with Rowan and Martin. Well, they apparently did a Christmas special years after Laugh-In, so it was just highlights from Laugh-In. We don't have that. That's not the post. But what it is just the what it is is just the intro to the show. So it's like a minute and a half, less than 2 minute intro. But what it does is from, you know, the show was on from 1968 to 1970 something or other. But what it has is a bunch of clips from Hollywood stars or national figures of that time. It just showed as a very young Michael Douglas, not Michael Douglas, the one that we know that's 60 years old, but his dad, who looks much younger back then. And then John Wayne's in there, but just a bunch of other people are in there. And they're all just very little clips. But for those of you that lived through Laugh-In years ago, you might get a little bit of a kick out of it. But again, it doesn't really have a lot to do with Christmas. It's just kind of the intro to what would have been a kind of one of those holiday remembrance shows. I think it was back, they probably aired it in the 90s or something like that, 80s or 90s. So whatever, that's all that is. So let's get to it. Rick, what do we got in the news today?
Well, before that, I want you to comment on that, Bill. We're always teaching, and so for those who don't know, the Laugh-In program and Sesame Street were sort of contemporaries, and they began the real change, the targeting of attention span, and each of their segments in their programs was about 2 minutes long. And so that's where, now today kids can hop from app to app and from video to video in seconds. And that's where it all began. Prior to that, people had to sit down and read, or you'd watch a segment on television until a commercial break, or the movie, you'd watch the whole movie. But it was Laugh-In that changed everything. They did these blasting 2 minute segments, and they had a million of them in a program. And Sesame Street did the same thing. So that is of interest, I think, historically, as we're always trying to enlighten the great unwashed. But
just to jump in there with my new grandson, I have started to watch some Sesame that I had not been watching for the last 30 years, 40, 50, whatever, you know what I'm saying? So, it's funny. It hasn't changed. It's changed, obviously, quite a bit, but they're pretty sophisticated, Sesame and little guy really loves it, I guess. And but I think they have a lot more music in it now than they used to. But whatever. So it's you're right. It was that you're right. I think it's good to put those two together because you know I'm thinking Sesame was very big. I think right around that time as well. Maybe yeah, definitely right around that time. Yeah.
Yeah, they were hand in hand, and I don't know that one played off the other, or you know if that were deliberate or not. But the Laugh-In program was a big change in you know in primetime TV. That was different because prior to that, there were a lot of live programs like there are now, except they were entertainment programs. They were called variety shows, so you'd have a 5 or 6 or 7 minute segment or longer. But just these machine gun rapid fire segments in Sesame Street, the same thing. Yeah, I noticed this year that Maria retired from Sesame Street, so that boy, that's the changing of the guard.
All right.
All right. The only thing I have from the
I'm sorry. No, go ahead. You're breaking up a tiny bit, but I can. You're all good. You're pretty good. Okay.
I'm breaking up all right. Gloucester Paper has a couple of things of interest in that the Patriots Foundation, that would be of the New England Patriots, is offering $10,000 grant as sort of a game change program to help fight bullying at Gloucester High School. Well, I don't know what it means. Fight bullying, because I don't think bullying is an issue. You want to read the article, it's more about prevention and talking with younger kids and having teaching high schools to be mentors for younger kids. But once again, I'm always dubious of grant programs, Bill, because as a teacher, very seldom really get any full professional development from a consultant who would come in and teach us for a day. But at any rate, $1,000 to help prevent bullying at Gloucester High School. There was a recent survey we mentioned here on North Shore Today a few weeks ago that mentioned something like 24% of Gloucester High School kids had said they'd been bullied. So I guess this is in response to that. And the other thing for me that's of interest, I always take my, I have a course called Facts, Fiction, Fable, and Folklore of Cape Ann that I run for the Northeast Consortium for Staff Development / Endicott College. And we always go up to Halibut Point up in Rockport, and it's a beautiful, beautiful park. Used to be a quarry, a granite quarry. There are lots of dugout quarries there that are now filled with water. But at night, the North Shore or Cape Ann Astronomy Club once a month goes up there because it's nice and dark and you can see the skies. But it's just a beautiful place to go for a picnic or a lunch. And you can go down on the rocks and have lunch down there. But anyway, they have a World War II observatory there that the visitor center is built around, and they're going to be rehabbing the visitor center. And I hope they leave the observatory as it was, because it's amazing to take that trip back in time. You can climb up to about the fifth story there and look out and actually see Seabrook, and you can see the Isle of Shoals and so on from the top of the observatory. But the buildings, the visitor center is built around it, and that is going to be rehabbed at a cost of $330,000. So the visitor center will be closed for the foreseeable future, I believe, including next summer, but the park will be open.
Gotcha. I know in the Daily Item in today's edition, they have a story on the front page about assessments for residents, homeowners, that their assessments are going up, bills will be going up, and there's a similar story, I believe, in Beverly in the Salem News today. And another story, a political story, which kind of emanates from Saugus, but out of Congressman Moulton's office, is that Jennifer Migliore, who is a who works for Congressman Moulton in his office, is going to resign in January and run for state representative in the 9th Essex District. And that's the seat that's currently held by a Republican, I think it's David Wong, from Saugus, from the Kowloon fame. And so Douglas Wong, I think I've got that wrong. I apologize for that. But anyways, it's the seat held by Donald Wong of Saugus. And so she's going to be making a run at that seat. So that election's got to be in a year from now, a little less than a year from now in November. So that's our right. That's our latest political news. And still to come.
Oh, wait. Can we let this go by without mentioning Trump? I don't know if you've seen, social media is going crazy with Trump. But last night on Fox TV, they were skewering Trump of all stations. It's really surprised me, but they were actually skewering him over his most recent comments. And It is, to me, very disturbing. I think I saw one headline somewhere, okay, it's not funny anymore. And I think that's where I am now with Trump. It isn't funny anymore. I think his act has run a little bit thin, but boy, he's still leading the polls for the Republican nomination.
Well, the thing about Fox News, Rick, is they don't like Trump. They don't like Trump either. I mean, they're touting the establishment Republican candidates on Fox, such as, and I think their last hope is probably Marco Rubio, but they're not. I don't think they're huge on Trump or Cruz or whatever. You know, I don't think they. But I think Trump is their outsider, so they're not really touting Trump at all. In fact, they have a lot of people on Fox that are anti-Trump, you know, repeatedly, but. You're right about that, and I saw an interview before we started today as Trump was on Good Morning America with George Stephanopoulos this morning, and George was going at him, and they're making the comparison. To me, this is a little bit strong. They're making a Hitler comparison, you know, and I think those Hitler comparisons, I don't buy that myself. I mean, I think that, you know, Hitler, we know what Hitler did, and Trump's not extinguishing a race or you know, threatening a race or proposing genocide or anything like that. So I just don't think, I mean, I think those, I mean, there's a lot of people that just want to get Trump out of the mix. And I get that piece, but I think this is over the top kind of stuff because I don't think it's really practical. But you're right. I don't know how this is going to play later on with other people. We'll see what this does.
I think they're comparing him to, when Hitler first started out as a politician, and I see a direct parallel. Hitler appealed to nationalism when Germany was down economically, and he did that by pointing fingers at others, which is exactly what Trump is doing. He's touting nationalism. We need to bring back America. We need to be, I forget what his catchphrase on his hat is, but
need to make America great again. Yeah, right. No, I see that. Yeah. Right, I get you. Yeah.
And so he's touting nationalism and he's pointing his fingers, so blaming other people, which is exactly what Hitler did, and, you know, making people wear stars on their shirts to signify, you know, what their religion was, and Trump, you know, saying, okay, let's just shut the door to all Muslims. Unless we forget, now these are incredibly complex times, but America. Basically, I think my second grade teacher didn't lie to me about this one, was pretty much founded on a search for freedom of religion. It was, I believe, you know, whatever the Puritans' religion was that was being persecuted in England that, you know, propelled them to leave England originally. And, you know, one of our tenets is, I believe, the First Amendment. So, you know... I see a direct parallel there, and it's very disturbing. Plus, the dismissal of anyone who disagrees with anything he says, like, I don't care, or you're stupid, or you're a bonehead. That's just ridiculous, you know. But I do see a direct parallel, and I'm seeing it more and more, which surprises me because I'm sure Trump knows his history.
Right, and I guess what I would say is I don't think that Donald Trump's an Adolf Hitler. I mean, in that regard, I see that to some extent, but I don't see that Donald Trump. I mean, Donald Trump is a guy that got along to get along in New York. I don't think he's that. I think this is more of an act than it is his real beliefs, to be honest with you. But I do think some of the stuff is coming from what he believes. There's no doubt about that, or else he wouldn't be doing it. But I don't think he's as nationalistic as say a Hitler would have been, but I'm not sure that there's that connection at this point. But anyways, so we've got and so it's been rebuked. There's stories in the paper today. Governor Baker has sounded off on it in Massachusetts. Clearly, other political leaders have sounded off about it. So I clearly that'll be the story to watch. I think in the next. In the next several days, politically, to see what impact that has and how people play it. I'm not convinced though that the Trump voters see it quite like that. You know what I'm saying? That they, you know. But you know, I guess if we're treading on dangerous or thin ice, then that's so be it. You know, I think that's. But again, I'm not sure that's going to impact his poll numbers the way things have gone the last few months.
Right, and I did see one. Article about the neo-Nazi leader in the United States is supporting Trump, and the headline said he said, you know, Heil Trump, he is our savior. So I think the danger of, I don't want to call it a danger. Yeah, I do. I see it as a danger, and that is he is appealing to the lowest common denominator, in my opinion. So we'll see. I thought it was just an entertainment thing at first, but now I'm not sure, and I don't know where this is going to go. But I'm disturbed by it. I don't like his rhetoric. I don't like his delivery. I don't like it at all.
All right. Well, coming up on our program, we have Ted Betancourt, the mayor of Peabody, will be joining us. Rick had a chance to talk with him, and so we'll be running that interview. We also have Anna Kanab from Pingree High School, the Pingree School. She's a lacrosse player. She runs, and she also plays field hockey, a league all-star in field hockey, Salem News all-star in field hockey this past fall. She'll be joining us, and also Marcelo Rocha from Peabody High School, cross-country runner. He'll be joining us. We will be putting up some separate posts on the Moynihan Student Athlete Award winners this later on today. But they'll be in our program today. Rick, anything else we should do before we go to Mayor Betancourt?
Just quickly, a sport. Do you want to save it for now or afterwards?
We'll save it till afterwards. We'll jump on some sports in a moment here. So let's begin rolling. Let's roll the videotape, my friends.
At the office of Peabody Mayor Ted Betancourt, I'm Rick Moore with MSO News Sports. And, Mr. Mayor, thank you for letting me in again.
Absolutely. Happy to be with you, Rick. Happy to be with you.
Okay. Appreciate it. A couple of things to on the table here. First, always interested in the budget and how it's going. It's an ongoing process that I'm guessing it's 12 months a year. But contract situation in Peabody, you have a number of unions to deal with. And what's an update on that?
Sure. Yes, we do have 14 unions in the city of Peabody, and all the contracts expired this past summer, and we've been actively involved with all 14 unions. We have settled the fire contract, the librarians we've settled as well, and we're very close on the police, our AFSCME units, and a number of others. Actually, it's been progressing very nicely over the past few weeks. So we expect that over the next month, couple of months, we should be able to wrap all those up.
When you try to put a budget together and you look at the contracts, do you sort of, and I'm not going to ask for specifics, but do you sort of have a figure in mind percentage-wise that you'd like to work with, or is it just, no, we're going to minimize everything?
No, I certainly speak with other mayors, town managers, to see what other cities and towns are doing in terms of their contract negotiations. Unions come in with their requests, and I want to be fair to our unions because they work very hard for us, our police, fire, teachers, and really across the city we have a lot of hard workers. And you want to be fair to have the cost of living adjustments and also to try to entertain some of their requests. But at the end of the day, the bottom line is I have to make sure I do what's best for the taxpayers and try to find some middle ground. And it's always challenging. We're looking at 1.5-2% raises over the next 3 years, which I think are fair for both of us.
You know, is that probably part of the most difficult thing you have to do as mayor? Is that one of the toughest things, is figuring out that budget every year?
Yeah, no doubt. I think that's my primary job in many respects, is making sure that taxpayer money is treated with respect and utilized properly. And the budget is something that we invest months of time in. Numerous meetings that are probably too many to count with different department heads to go over their needs. And certainly we need money for investment. We need money for union contracts. We need money for health insurance, all kinds of different areas of the city. And it's a big challenge, but actually a part that I enjoy.
When I was an educator in the union, I could not get involved in contract negotiations because I would take it personally. And I imagine there are probably some sensitive personalities you have to deal with from time to time.
Sure. And I actually grew up in a union family. My dad was a union president of his local for many, many years. And that was a part of life for me growing up. And that's a little different, certainly, responsibility now, a different role I am in now. But I think it's important to have good relationships with unions, and you do. It's certainly I've seen times, not so much with my negotiations, I've actually been pretty positive, but I've seen times in the past where it has gotten pretty tense at moments, and you know, there's times we disagree, but I think as long as you do it in a very open manner and with respect, I think that goes a long way, and that's important to me.
Okay, I saw recently in the Peabody Linfield News something about solar farms, and maybe you could bring me up to date on that.
Yes, we have actually entered into a partnership with Peabody Municipal Light Plant, our PMLP, who provide electricity for the city. We have a very close relationship with, to try to find some locations across the city to put in some solar farms that other cities and towns have utilized. We went up and toured Tewksbury, which has a large solar farm, and we've designated four spots in the city to install solar farms, and we think it's a win-win-win in three ways. One is it's city land that we are now going to be renting out to these solar farms. We'll be bringing in some income for the city. PMLP will be able to, and we look at it as a city, they're all taxpayers, they're all ratepayers, to help stabilize some of their costs and reduce some of the rates for our taxpayers, but also for the environment. We think it's a good investment. So we think it's a win-win-win. And the four parcels spread across the city that are in properties that are really have no other use for the city, and they're really not anything that would impact neighborhoods and the like.
And a solar farm is solar panels on the ground?
They're solar-mounted ground panels, solar ground-mounted panels, and they're about probably the height of about 6 to 9 feet, and they're just laid across the ground, fenced in, no noise, no odor. We think it's a good investment.
Okay. All right. Finally, Mr. Mayor, the Essex Tech thing, and I never get the name right, but the new Essex Aggie. I've had some questions to Gloucester officials, to Salem officials about the you know, the involvement of each town, how many kids it sends, the expenditures, and so on, versus the local education of each kid. But recently, the news and controversy has cropped up about a private sports facility going on public land. And at maybe a month or so ago, it was only going to involve giving the Essex Aggie or Essex Tech kids some ice time. And I don't even know that they have a hockey team, but they probably do. And that was the extent of it. But I know there's been a lot of ongoing negotiations with the new superintendent also at Essex Tech. I know he's on an interim basis, I believe, and he's gathering a lot of information as well. So what does Peabody stand with what's going on with your students and the new Essex Essex Tech?
Well, I share in the concern of Salem Mayor, the Beverly Mayor, both Kim Driscoll, and I have spoken very very frequently, Mike Cahill, about this topic. And we have major concerns about what's taking place there. As a city, and really any city in town, we have public bidding requirements. Anytime we do a project that involves our land or the purchase of land, we have to put it out for bid and accept bids for that work, anything over $25,000. And to have a deal go through where there was no public bidding and a private deal was struck, that just does not sit well with all of us. It's a big investment for our city, our investment in the Essex Regional Vocational School system, and we're putting in millions of dollars a year, and we expect that things are done properly in an open and transparent manner, and that doesn't seem to have been done here. And I think all of us are concerned.
Mm-hmm. So what is the process? I know the Salem Mayor has been involved in asking questions and meeting with the superintendent and so on, so is there an ongoing dialogue?
Yes, there is, and I believe I actually have a meeting with Superintendent Lupini very soon. And he, you know, he's new to this. He just got on board a few weeks ago, and you know, I'm sure he's trying to get a handle on everything that's taking place. And but that's what we're at right now, is the dialogue mm-hmm. stage, and it's something that all of us are keeping a close eye on. I think we all want the same thing mm-hmm. here, and you know, at the end of the day, it's for the education of our kids. But we need to make sure things are done properly. And it's, again, this is all public money that's coming from cities and towns, and we need to make sure things are done properly.
Okay, finally, 'tis the season, as they say. Hanukkah has begun for the Jewish community. The menorahs are lit, and it's a great time of celebration for that, and for Christmas and other stuff as well. But now I know on the North Shore, Santa Claus, or a representative thereof, yes. Arrives in various modes of transportation. In Rockport and in Marblehead, he shows up on a lobster boat. In Gloucester, he shows up on a fire engine. In Salem, somehow he appears on the roof of the Hawthorne Hotel, which blows me away. Oh. Has he made an appearance yet in Peabody for the annual celebration or whatever parade might happen? And if so, how does he show up?
Well, we've had a couple of different events. Last weekend, actually, we had our holiday stroll, our Christmas event. Santa and Mrs. Claus were brought in on a fire truck to City Hall. We had hundreds of kids here. We tied it in with Small Business Saturday, and we utilized the fire station, the library, and a bunch of the city businesses downtown, and it was a great event. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, in fact, was a wonderful event. We had a fundraiser for Special Olympics, and it was.
Oh, that's right. The beard's gone.
The beard is gone.
I noticed that. Yeah,
the beard is long gone. It will be back next November, I think. But we had a great event. It was sponsored by the Massachusetts Police Chiefs Law Enforcement. It was a torch run, and there was a road race in Centennial Park in Peabody. And Santa came in with the Grinch via a helicopter.
Oh, wow.
It was a pretty spectacular event. Yeah, we had over 500 runners. It was the police chief from Middleton, Chief DG, and Police Chief Griffin, and it was a wonderful event. And Santa and the Grinch, which was an odd friendship, they came in together in a helicopter.
Maybe Republicans and Democrats can actually get together next, huh?
If the Grinch and Santa can get along, I think we can go go that way.
All right. That is Peabody Mayor Ted Betancourt with MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore.
All right, always fun to talk with Mayor Betancourt. Very enthusiastic, giving out information for us, a lot going on in Peabody. And we see the mayor as well as Mayor Driscoll a couple of times a month. And I very much appreciate being able to get in there and listen to their public service information. Bill, a couple of things. I talked with Nick Kukuru last night on North Shore Sports Night, and we did talk a lot about I talked with Jeff Destino about track. He's the Gloucester track coach. But Nick was mentioning the MIAA football realignment, and I am as confused as ever. The Times has a quick little article on it today, and Gloucester now will be in Division 2A, competing with Danvers, Marblehead, Burlington, Wakefield, Wayland, Bedford, Wilmington, Matanon, North Reading, and Dracut. But I don't know what league Gloucester will be in or who they'll be playing. Manchester Essex has been moved up because they're counting Manchester and Rockport as one school. And so Manchester Essex now will be in the same division as Salem. This is football. Salem, Newburyport, Weston, Watertown, Triton, Swampscott, Greater Lowell, Austin Prep, Pentucket, Amesbury, and Arlington Catholic. And Manchester Essex Athletic Director Paul Murphy says he will be appealing the team's alignment. Good grief. So, I don't know, more to come on that one. And I just want to know what the leagues are going to look like.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think you mean within the leagues, what they're going to look like?
Well, who like Gloucester and Salem be playing? Because for Gloucester, the only team in their division that I see, according to, you know, what they have in the Times here, are Danvers and Marblehead. Mm. You know, all these other schools that they'll be competing with are not in the Northeastern Conference, so I'm totally confused by
this.
Well,
that's just in postseason. That's just in postseason. Those are the postseason alignments.
Okay,
those are the realignments of the divisions, because they added one or two divisions this year for next year.
All right,
when the regular season ends and you enter the playoffs, you'd be matched up against any of those teams in your division. You know what I mean?
All right, but how does that work for standings? In other words, if Marblehead and Danvers are the only schools in 2A in the Northeastern Conference along with you, then ostensibly you could go 3-8 and get into the tournament because you beat those other schools?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think there are divisions in this state where people have had some horrible records and have made it to the playoffs, and it kind of depends on your on your division, I think. Which is kind of unfair on a reverse side as well, maybe, for some of these schools. I'm not saying I know what's going on. There was a story. Maureen Mullen from The Item did a story yesterday, and I skimmed it quickly, but it basically had the matchups as you're kind of alluding to, so I don't really know. A couple of things jump out at me on those alignments, but who knows?
Well, more to come. Stay tuned. We'll have to figure that out, or at least someone figure it out for us.
All right, up next, our Moynihan Lumber Student Athletes of the Month. Joining us at this time, Anna Kanib from Pingree, and she is the Moynihan Lumber November Student Athlete of the Month Award winner on the female side. And Anna, congratulations on your award. It's I think it's a great honor, and you obviously you've deserved it with the work in your in the classroom, and now, of course, out and playing field hockey this past fall.
Thank you.
Well, let me have you talk to me about a little bit about field hockey. What What do, and don't be too bashful here, but what are the accomplishments that you think you've achieved in field hockey? Of course, you're a Salem News All-Star and so on for the fall, but what kind of things made your season this year?
I definitely really loved that we had two penalty strokes called this season, which I got the opportunity to take both of those and scored on both of them, which I love strokes. I think they're really fun and a really great way to practice shooting.
And what about the team? Tell me about that the team experience. A great part of athletics is being a part of a team. So tell me about that as far as you're concerned.
We had one team this year, so it was a big group, but it was really fun to have all the different skill levels because we got to focus on a lot of the basics, which I think helped us in the long run.
Mm-hmm. And your position in field hockey again, I mean, tell me more about that in your role.
I played center mid, so I was definitely in the middle of the game, constantly feeding the ball to people, and I think that was a good fit for me as an upperclassman.
Yeah, and I know you also received league honors as well, which is to no surprise as well. Now, what do you do athletically the other seasons when you're not playing field hockey?
I play lacrosse in the spring, and I actually play year-round club field hockey, and I also like to run.
Okay. How much running do you do? Give me an example of that.
I ran a half marathon yesterday.
Oh, jeez, wow. Now, is that for a race, or you just happened to do it?
Yeah, it was the Happy Holidays Half Marathon in Gloucester.
Oh, nice. How'd you do? Can I ask?
Yeah, I came in second in the under-18 age division.
Nice. All right, congratulations there. Now, lacrosse is not an easy sport. So you like sports involving a stick, huh?
Yeah.
Well, lacrosse is not that's a tough sport, so I give you a lot of credit for that. And so you're gearing up for the springtime with lacrosse then.
Yeah.
Well, endurance, those sports, I mean, I tell you, among soccer and field hockey and of course, lacrosse, the more running that you get, the better runner you are, I think that just helps you out for endurance and just to on any given moment out on the field.
Definitely.
Well, let me ask you about the classroom, Anna. You mentioned to me before we went on that biology might be your favorite subject.
Yeah, I love biology.
Yeah, and tell me a little bit about that. Are you currently taking a biology class now, or have you already taken it?
I took biology my freshman year, and I chose to take AP this year.
Gotcha. Now, does that mean you are looking to go into medicine later on, I mean, or not?
It's definitely a possibility. I like it a lot, but I'm not sure yet.
You're not sure. Do you have plans for after Pingree?
I'm looking to play in college.
Which, play field hockey or lacrosse? Or?
Field hockey.
Field hockey. Gotcha. Okay. What's a subject at school that is tough for you? Do you know what I'm saying? What doesn't come so naturally to you or anything?
I would say English.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're a science person. That's fantastic though to get it to be into the sciences and so on. What else do you do at Pingree, Anna? Do you anything else like during the school day or after school that you're involved with? I know you're with the athletics, it keeps you pretty busy, but are there other things you're doing at Pingree?
I play the violin in an ensemble.
Nice. Wow. All right. So, well, Anna, this is good. And I'm trying to think. You're also in the Model UN program too, correct?
Yeah.
All right. And a peer tutor in Spanish. I also picked that up. And so you're doing a lot of different things. Oh, are you taking multiple languages too, Anna, or not?
No, I take just Spanish, but I take two sciences.
Two sciences. I got you. Okay. Well, Anna, maybe just to wrap this up, are there any anything else you want to share about the field hockey or any of the other athletics that kind of they're obviously a big part of your life. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I've just been playing from a very young age, and it's always been fun for me.
Gotcha. Well, Anna, again, from all of us, congratulations to you. Well deserved. Best of luck. With the running and of course the lacrosse in the springtime and the Now, where do you do the indoor or all-season lacrosse? Obviously, it's got to be indoor field hockey, rather.
My club practices out of MIT.
Oh, wow. Okay, good. All right, well, and Anna, again, congratulations to you, and best of luck in all of your endeavors moving forward, and congratulations on the award.
Thank you.
Anna Koenig from Pingree High School, the female November Moynihan Lumber Student Athlete of the Award winner here on MSONewsSports.com. Marcelo Rocha is joining us. He is the male Student Athlete of the month of November for the Moynihan Lumber Student Athlete Program from Peabody High School. Cross-country runner, outstanding student. And Marcelo, congratulations on winning this honor.
Thank you so much.
Great to have you with us. And Marcelo, you've done a great job cross-country in the North Shore, Northeastern Conference. But tell us about what's happened after the regular season ended. What's happened for you? Because I know you got a big trip to San Diego for some national competition this weekend. But take us through those steps after the regular season.
After the All-State meet, I went to New York to run in the Foot Locker Northeast Regional. And only the top 10 finishers get to go to the national meet in San Diego, and I was number 10.
That's fantastic. And so now it's on to, and that was in the Bronx, New York, correct?
Yes.
And what was that course like? I mean, is it the same course you ran on in last year down there?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, so you are familiar with the course. Did they take you the same routes, or were there some changes?
It was the same.
Yeah, okay. It's getting old hat for you. You're all set. Now, so you're out to San Diego, and what kind of competition are you going to be up against there? In other words, how many different regions are there? Are there just four, or are there more than that?
There's just four, and each region has 10 people. So there's going to be 40 in the race, and everyone is so good now, and there's really no predicting how well you're going to do. It's kind of run your heart out and try to run as fast as you can.
Yeah. Now, what do you do? I can't imagine you do anything different for something like that in preparation for it than you would in any other race. Does that sound right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Try to relax and not think about the meet that much and focus on school until that day and just try to do it the same routine as you usually do.
Mm-hmm. And how were you feeling last Saturday down in New York? Were you feeling okay that day?
Yeah, I was a little just trying to hang in there the whole time with the pack, the top 10 pack. And as soon as we finished, one of the officials told us that we were the top 10. I was just so excited. It was a great feeling.
No, absolutely. Great thing. Now, we talked before, but I just want to ask you the question about how you got into cross-country running, because your parents were both very good cross-country runners, correct? And but that's not quite how you got into it, correct?
Correct. I played soccer in middle school, and my sister ran for the middle school team when she was there a couple years before, and she told me it was really fun, and that the it was just a great atmosphere, so I tried it, and I fell in love with it, and I continued to like it even more once I went to high school, because everyone was so tight-knit, and the team was just so great to me. It's just a close family when you're up there.
Yeah. Let's talk about school for a couple of questions here. What is your favorite subject area in school? Because you're obviously an outstanding student, and so where are your favorite? What are your favorite classes?
My favorite classes are mock trials and U.S. history, most definitely.
And that's what you might look to do, something like that in the when you get to go to college.
Hopefully, yeah. I really undecided, but I'm leaning towards that.
Yeah. And what about a challenging subject, a subject that you've taken on, but it's not easy, so to speak.
Pre-calculus and chemistry.
Yeah, there you go. Pre-calculus, chemistry. And I guess the other thing I see here is, student government or student leadership. What do you do in the school beyond just the academics and athletics?
I'm part of the Junior Rotary Club or Interact Club and peer mediation I'm also a class officer because I am the class secretary for the junior class.
Well, that's great. Okay. Well, Marcelo, anything else you want to share with us about winning this honor or anything else about cross country school at Peabody High School?
Just thank you for nominating me, letting me get this honor.
Yeah.
And for the interview. Thanks.
Yeah, well, congratulations. It's nice meeting you. Best of luck out in San Diego this weekend. And to tag on to what you just said, a special thanks to the Peabody Athletic Department and the coaches and AD Phil Sheridan for nominating you and so on, because it's obviously you're a great candidate for this, and best of luck out in San Diego. So great talking with you, Marcelo.
Thank you.
Marcelo Rocha, who from Peabody High School, cross-country runner, and the November Male Student Athlete of the Month for the Moynihan Lumber Student Athlete Program, right here on MSONewsSports.com.
Okay, well, don't forget Trending Now on Fridays with Josh Arnold. Josh, as always, has a bunch of guests lined up that should be very entertaining and informative. And I invite you, please, if you didn't listen to last week's program, go to On Demand, go to Trending Now with Josh Arnold on our website, and there's a page up top that you can click on, or just go through our archive, check it out. Great interviews, very, very important interviews as well, and go back and listen to them. Plus, we've got new ones coming up, including, as always, Heather Atwood from the Gloucester Times food section. She's the food editor there. She's featured twice a month, I believe it is. She's also an author. And, man, is she great to listen to and give some great tips. So, Trending Now with Josh Arnold, Fridays, 10 a.m.
And we should have Thomas Younger with us on this program tomorrow. He is the town manager from the town of Swampscott. So, with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. This is North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com.